the sweet singer of Israel, King David, would on numerous occasions write such sweet words and sing them unto the God of heaven. Many of those psalms are recorded for us. Psalm 18 is one that I find particularly uplifting and one that we will notice this morning. But we will notice it as it is written from 2 Samuel 22. Verse 31 in particular, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and He is a buckler to all them that trust Him. We are to praise God for all His ways." And the Bible says that His ways are perfect. David sings songs of praise unto God, and some 216 verses record the word praise for us in the Bible. In an overwhelming majority of these, David himself wrote. And most of these, the majority of them also, are words of praise and thanksgiving for the blessings that God has showered upon man, whether in particular or a group or a nation. In fact, more of these are used in the Psalms than in any other place. And Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 run parallel with one another. And David will list in this chapter numerous things that he was able to do and to accomplish, but would always praise God and give God the honor due him because of all of those things that he's been able to accomplish. And we certainly want to praise God in all that we do and all that we say. Consider how then we might be able to praise God in our lives today. Notice that God's way is perfect. God's word is proven. And God will give protection as we study together from 2 Samuel 22. Notice with me verses 30 through 32. We'll read the whole of these verses. "For by thee I have run through a troop," he says. "By my God, I have leaped over a wall." David looks back at the enemies that he has had to fight. And he says, "I have run through a troop. And I have leaped over a wall." But he doesn't say that he did it on his own. He says, "By my God, I have leaped over a wall. For by thee, I have run through a troop." As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Notice then verse 32. "For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God?" Great praise and honor is given unto God, the God of heaven. Notice with me in Psalm 18 as we look at this in a parallel way. In Psalm 18 and verse 3, David says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." God is worthy to be praised. And David says in verse 6 that he called upon the Lord when he was in distress, when he was trapped and when all of his enemies were round about him. He says, "I have called upon thee." He did not rely on his own ability, on his own strength. You remember what the people had said, what the Israelites had said concerning David. Saul had killed his thousands and David his 10,000. So David did not let that seem to go to his head. He praised God and knew that his strength would come from God. He says, "He's my rock, my high tower, my strength." He knew that if he had to continue to face these enemies, and he would in battle, then he would have to rely on God. David looks back, and as Saul had even given chase and tried to kill David on numerous occasions and continued to chase him from one wilderness to another, David did not rely on his own merit, on his own strength, on his own ability. He relied upon God. And now as we begin to read something of that David writes in, he praises God for his ability, for God's ability, that is, to see him through the enemies that he was facing. In verse 21 of Psalm 18, he says, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." I'm sure David was able to look around and see others who had departed God. Look at King Saul and what he had done. He was not obedient unto God. He had departed from God. He was not following the ways of the Lord. But David says, "I have kept the ways of the Lord." Verse 22, he says, "I was upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity." Even from his own temptations, David said, I've kept myself from iniquity. And we know that David, it's written of David, he's a man after God's own heart. And we read in Psalm 51 of David's repentance and his contrite heart that he reaches out unto God and he says, "God, forgive me of all that I've done." I'm paraphrasing that. Psalm 51 is after he's committed that sin with Bathsheba. But he knows what he's done wrong. And he comes back to God and he asks for forgiveness and he makes things right. But David praises God through it all. Does not blame God in any way as some do even today, for the hard times that he faced, for the difficulties that he faced in life. David praised God. Verse 24 of Psalm 18, he says, "Therefore hath the Lord recompensed or repaid me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight." Why? Because God's ways are perfect. His ways are perfect. And therefore we follow his ways as did David, that we too might be counted as righteous. That we too might be able to say that I was upright before him and I have kept myself from iniquity. Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." How are we going to do that? We have to follow his ways. God in heaven is perfect. And therefore, when we put our faith and our trust in him and follow his ways, then we too can be perfect. Counted as righteous. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." That he may be perfect, counted righteous before God. 2 Peter 1:3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Jesus said very simply, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so because God's ways are perfect, we must follow the perfect way and the perfect one, which is Christ. And his way is perfect. He says, "I am the way. There is no other way. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, but that the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 4:12. "By following the perfect law of liberty," James 1:25, "and thereby doing the will of the Father," Matthew 7:21-23, "we too can be considered or counted as righteous." And we have every reason to praise God because his way is perfect. God's word is proven. His word is proven time and time again. Over and over, we look through the pages of Scripture, and his word is proven to be true at every page. You think about Genesis 6-9. You think about how the world was. That every imagination, every thought of every imagination was only evil continually. You think about that situation that Noah found himself in, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? But he was counted righteous. Why? Because he was following God. And so God tells Noah, I want you to build an ark. And he gave him the specific dimensions for it and the materials in which to use. And he laid all that out for him and says, this is how I want it done. And I want you to gather all of these particular animals. And then I want you to be on that ark, inside it, when that day comes. When I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. And Noah might have thought, what's a flood? I've never seen a flood before. There had not been any floods. Certainly none of this magnitude. And so what does Noah do? Noah builds that ark, just specifically according to the dimensions, with the gopher wood, the specific material mentioned, pitch within and without. He's gathered up all the animals. And this doesn't just take a couple of weeks. This goes on for 120 years as he prepares for this. And during this time, as those who were mocking and making fun, he preaches on. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. What does that mean? Righteousness, we've already said, it's one that follows the perfect way, God's way, through the proven word. On the day that that flood comes, Noah has prepared that ark. He's on with his family. He has those animals. He's made all the proper preparations. And the earth opens up. And the sky opens up. That great canopy. And the whole world floods, just as God said it would. His word was proven. But there is Noah and his family safe in the ark, just as God said that he would. And then, when the waters subside, and they come off the ark, and God says, I'm going to put my bow in the sky for a sign, a covenant. I'll never flood the earth again, not to destroy it. And he has kept his word all these years. We still see the rainbow. It's a sign of that covenant that God first gave to Noah. God's word is proven to be true. You think about the 300 plus prophecies concerning the Messiah. You think about those prophets of old, how they talked about where he would be born specifically. That he would be born of a virgin. Think about Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Talking about a son that would be born. The names given to him, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is all of those things. In Mark 1 and verse 1, we read about a son to be born. To be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7 verse 14 uses that specific word. And in Matthew chapter 1, we read of Mary, a virgin, who becomes then with child, child of the Holy Ghost, not of her betrothed husband, but a child of God, born of a virgin, born from the house of Judah, Isaiah 37, 31, And Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 gives the genealogy of the house of Judah. And there he is, Jesus of Nazareth. Born in Bethlehem Ephratah. There were two Bethlehems mentioned, but Bethlehem Ephratah. Micah 5 and verse 2. And there in Matthew chapter 2, we see his birthplace. He's despised and rejected of men, Isaiah 53, verses 3 and following. And throughout his whole personal ministry, he was despised and rejected. And even after his death, even after they had killed the Christ, he's still rejected. He's still despised by men even today. We read of the prophets, Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, Joel 2, about a coming kingdom, about the church, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that would never be destroyed, a kingdom that would break in pieces all of these other kingdoms. And in Acts chapter 2, that comes to pass as well. And we see the birth of the church, the saving place for the soul. So many more that we could list and go on and on. But God's word is proven over and over to be true. God's word is tried. The last point is that God will give protection. I think maybe this gives us as much comfort as any of the others. That God will protect us. He will provide for us. He will take care of us and everything. He is a buckler, the Bible says. David says, he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Verse 33 says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. You see, when I look at the perfect way of God and his word that is proven, and I follow it, and I put my faith and my trust in him and in his way only, and not Wayne's way, then he will protect me. He is a buckler to all them that trust him. David, when in distress by his enemies, again mentioned Psalm 18 verse 6, he called upon the Lord and the Lord provided protection. He was able to run through a troop. He was able to leap over a wall. He's able to do all of these things because God was there providing strength and protection for him from his enemies. David was delivered from the when the enemy was even seemingly too strong for him. In verse 17 it says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Notice David's word. He readily admits they're too strong for me. We've probably felt like that at times in our life. With everything going on in our life, it's just too much. It's too much for me. I'm not able to go on to make it any farther. But David called upon God. Notice what he says. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. The idea of a place of safety. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. No doubt. Because David was faithful unto God. God had taken care of him. He had provided protection for him through all of his trials. And he will certainly protect and watch over his children today. He watches over us and will take care of us. 1 Peter 3:8 and following. Peter says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called. Notice this, that you should inherit a blessing. Remember, we talked about that before. Much praise is given unto God because of the blessings that he has given to God. And notice what Peter is saying, that you should inherit a blessing, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and seek peace and ensue it, he says. For the eyes of the Lord, get this, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And it says, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And so Peter promises us that God is there watching over his children, that he is there protecting us. He hears our cries. He hears our prayers. He knows when we're in distress. He knows when we need help. But he wants us to call upon him for that help, as did David. And in so doing, he will provide all that we need. He will take care of us at every turn. He is a gracious and loving God. But at the same time, even Peter tells us that the Lord's face is against them that do evil. And so he tells us both sides of this. In 1 Samuel 17, where David faces Goliath, not only the enemy of David, but also the enemy of God. And yet David faced the enemy and all the challenges because he knew that God was with him. David would also write, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We gain comfort and protection from God as we follow his perfect ways and his proven word. We can put our faith and our trust in God that he will care for us as we follow that way. God is salvation. That's very simple. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 36, David also writes, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. What great salvation we enjoy through Christ Jesus. We can praise God when we realize all that he has done for us and how he has provided a way that we might be saved. If we will simply follow his way through his word, then he will protect us. He will save us if we're obedient to his plan for saving mankind. If we believe Jesus to be the Son of God, then we're willing to confess his name before men as the Son of God, willing to turn away from the practice of sin and be baptized to wash away our sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. He will wash away our sins. Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38, John 8:24. And a host of other verses in the New Covenant, New Testament that tell us of that great plan whereby we can be saved. And then we read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. And we find that when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all the necessary things in life, they'll be taken care of. They'll be provided. And we, in turn, will be protected. We'll have everything that we need in this life. Matthew 6:25-34. We think about this morning. We examine ourselves. Have we obeyed the gospel? The plan of salvation that we might know the true salvation of the Lord. If we've done those things and we've slipped and fallen, if we've found ourselves to be in sin, then we need to repent and ask for God's forgiveness. We're here to encourage you this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity while we're standing and while we're singing this invitation song to come up to the front and make your wishes known. If you need to obey the gospel, or if you need to ask for forgiveness as a child of God, we encourage you to do so at this time as we sing.